Okay, well, welcome everyone to worship. Today, I want to actually take us back a couple months, almost half a year back. When we started our church year, if you don't remember, our theme for this year is actually deep and wide. I know, you know, it seems so long ago you might have forgotten. But a lot of our message series has been on the deep part. How can we experience God deeply? How can we know God deeply? And in fact, the series that we have right now, Let Hope In, a good portion of that is about how can we come to experience God's hope in our lives in a very deep way. But as we look at scriptures, being deep with God does not exclude us from being for us to go wide for God. Like, God never intended all of us to just go deep with God, otherwise we will be all like monks and in monastery and just keep getting to know God deeply. The scripture has an aspect of us by following Jesus, and we recite it every week, to go and make disciples of all nations. So there's an aspect of us going wide for Jesus. And so today will be the last message of this series, Let Hope In. And starting from this week on, we will kind of change gear a little bit till August. Our sermon series will be a lot more geared toward making an impact for God in the world and in where we are. And so starting today, the last message of Let Hope In will be about sharing hope, our hope with other people. And because that's what we're going to look at today. How can hopeful people like us, we have the hope of Christ in us, we ought to be hope-giving people. That's what we are by. Another way of talking about the Great Commission, we all know, is make disciples of all nations. Go and make disciples of all nations. Another way of understanding the Great Commission is we need to go and bring hope to the world where there's no hope. We need to bring hope to those who are hopeless in this world. And that's what we're going to find out today. How can we as hopeful people become hope-giving people? The story we're going to look at today is Acts chapter 3. Let me give you a little background. Acts chapter 3 happened shortly after 50 days. Kind of appropriate because we just celebrated Resurrection Sunday. Jesus was crucified by the end of the Gospels. Acts chapter 1, Jesus was already resurrected. And then here it was then he showed himself to the disciples and gave them a very clear command and mission to do. Acts chapter 8, 1 verse 8. And be witnesses for me in this world, from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And Jesus said that you will receive power when you do that. That I will give you power to be witnesses for the rest of this world. You see the wide aspect of that. That Jesus did not just save a bunch of the disciples just to stay close as one single group. They were supposed to go be witnesses for Jesus to the ends of the earth, from where they are right now to the farthest end of the earth. And we see that happen. In chapter 1, Jesus was raised from the dead, and then he was ascended. Jesus left the disciples on earth to accomplish that task. Then you go to Acts chapter 2, we see that the disciples did a great job. Because during Pentecost, one of the Jewish holidays, Peter, one of the apostles, stood up and preached a great message about the gospel, about Jesus Christ, over 3,000 people. Believing Jesus. Talking about accomplishing the Great Commission. This one guy preaching, 3,000 people came to know the Lord. And as we continue in chapter 2, Acts chapter 2, we see that there is the Christianity is thriving. Acts chapter 2, at the end, one of the passages most people talk a lot about what a church should be, like a New Testament church, a model of a New Testament church. Verse 42 to 47, it says that people are devoting themselves to the teaching of the apostles. People are meeting together. They are praying. They're going to the temple. They are breaking bread. It is almost the pinnacle of what Christianity should look like. More than that, people were sharing goods with those who are in need. It is the model community that we all long to have. So Luke, the author of Acts, and by the end of chapter 2, paint a picture, it seems like things are going really, really well. And at the end of chapter 2, it says that the number were increasing more and more. More and more people are coming to faith to know Jesus Christ. More and more become a part of the faith community through Jesus Christ. And if we stop at chapter 2, things look pretty good. And in fact, most of the time, by the end of chapter 2, we feel like Christianity had kind of become pretty successful. But Dr. Luke, which is the author of Acts, brings us to Acts chapter 3 and give us a realistic picture that while all things are going very well, there are still many, 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 many people who are hopeless. There are still many, many people who are in need of the hope of Jesus Christ. And in fact, the very first instance that he brought forth to our attention in Acts chapter 3 has to do with a man who was born lame, a man who was born crippled, a man who was born not having the ability to walk. And so we're going to take a look at this instance. We're going to see how can we as hopeful people ought to be hope-giving people to those who have no hope in this world. Because what Jesus has commanded the people to do in Acts chapter 1, Matthew 20, chapter 28, is continue to be the command and commission and mission and purpose of your life as Christians and my life as Christians. What we'll see is that there are many people around us who still do not have hope in Jesus Christ. They are still yearning for a hope that really satisfies them. And it is up to you and I as Christ followers to carry out, to bring this hope to them when they are thirsty and hunger for this hope. So let me pray for us before we go into the passage. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to pray for you. Pray and ask that your Holy Spirit will speak to us today. Lord, when I think about Acts chapter 2, it is such a great place to be that all of us long to be in a community of love and sharing and God's words are being taught and prayer being lifted up, but yet you continue to move your people out into the world. You want the hope, people who have Christ's hope, to continue to bring hope to those who are hopeless. And so, Lord, would you teach us today, Lord? I pray, Lord, that your word will be the only word to come out of my mouth today. And God, I pray for all of us that we will have ears to listen, heart to receive what you call us to do. Lord, I pray that at the end of today's worship service, we will walk away changed by you. And give us still a heart of obedience to receive your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Acts chapter 3, verse 1, Jed read it for us earlier. Here's where we start the story. Here's what it says. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. If you don't know Jewish tradition, people go to pray three times a day, morning, afternoon, and night. Here's the time when Peter and John still go to the temple and pray. It is around ninth hour, which is around 3 o'clock in the afternoon. They went up to their usual prayer. And along the way, here's what happens. A man lame from birth was being carried, and whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called Beautiful Gate to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. So here Peter and John coming along the way, going to their usual time of prayer, go up to the temple and want to pray to God. Along the way, they saw this guy. As we found out, he was lame from birth. He was born unable to walk. Later on chapter 4, we found out this guy was about 40 years old already. That he's been lifted by some of his friends, maybe other people, it says, he has no ability to move. So every single day, he get carried out to the outside the temple, to the gates called Beautiful Gate. How ironic, by the way, that this lame person had to come to a gate that was beautiful. To ask for alms, meaning that he's begging for money. I was just passing by a church yesterday on the way to dinner, and I saw something similar to that. There were people who are in need, some of the people who are homeless, who are outside the church begging for money. And here's this guy who was born lame, cannot do anything. All he can do is ask for help to be brought there, hoping that someone along the way to go up to the temple would give them a couple coins. Probably what happened is he was laying down on the ground with his cap or a bucket in front of him, just like what you have seen today. In today's world, people who needed money were begging for money. The same happened now, and also the same happened then. And I believe many people today are similar, like very much like this guy. Maybe not physically impaired, maybe not physically disabled, but we have just as many people in this world that needed hope from Jesus. They may be physically ill, they may be physically impaired, they may be mentally disabled, emotionally disabled, but whatever it is, there are plenty of people in this world that are in need of hope, that need hope from Jesus. They might have lost a job, maybe they're going through a nasty divorce, maybe they are, some things are happening in their life, lost loved ones, they themselves are going through addiction problem. Whatever it is, there are plenty of people around us in need of hope. But when I look at this story, when I think about my own life, a lot of times what happens is these people are around us and we are walking just by them like everybody else who is on the way to the temple. Because every single day when that guy showed up at the temple, there are tens and hundreds of people who are walking to pray to God. Yet many of them don't stop. Many of them might have some extra change and just toss a few coins into the man's bucket in front of him. But they kept on walking. You see, this guy knows that, expected that people who are religious, people who are supposed to love God, also need to love people. That's why he chose this spot. He didn't choose some random street in the market. He figured that if these people claim to love God, they must have loved people too. So he set up his shop every single day outside the temple, hoping that people will walk by and he will be able to ask them for some extra change and money. And by and large, most people just keep walking. And I think about many times when I walk past homeless people, that's exactly what I do. Keep on walking. We go through the same places every single day, and sometimes we just forget that there are people around us. And the unfortunate thing is we, many times, unlike Peter and John, we just keep walking and ignoring the people who have deep need of hope because we're so hurried going somewhere else. I want to show you a movie, a clip of a movie. Many of you probably have never seen it. It's called Smoke. It's a really old movie. Let me set it up for you. Here's a scene. There's a guy named Augie. He's a small shop owner in Brooklyn, New York. And he's been taking pictures, his album's full of pictures, of the corner of his store, day in and day out. He would take a picture of that same spot every single day. And then he just started collecting the album, these pictures in albums. And one day when he was closing up the shop, he was sharing that with one of his friends. And I want you to pay attention as this friend's going through the album, the comment that he made, and also what Augie said to him. Okay, here's what it sounds like.
I don't know. Just came to me. It's my corner, after all. I mean, it's just one little part of the world, but things take place there too, just like everywhere else. It's a record of my little spot.
It's kind of overwhelming.
See, Augie said, this corner is just like any other place in the world, and things happen in that corner. You know, the guy was looking through the pictures, they're all the same. But you realize that not every single moment is the same. It's the same corner. Things happen, but different things happen. I think many times we go through life the same way. We think that we just go to school, go to work. It's the same old place, same old job, same old cubicle, same old train ride, same old car ride, same old group of people that we look through. And what happened is many times we're just like that other guy. We forget to look at the people around us. Because just like that lame man in front of the temple, there are many people around us who are in need. And I don't think that God made a mistake by placing you where you are. See, right where you are is where God wants you to bring hope into. Because right where you are, I guarantee you there will be at least one person, if not more, that are in need of hope. Let me ask you this, what are your corners in your life? Where are these places that you regularly go through and pass through? Have you noticed that there are people around there? Have you noticed that there are people around that actually have needs? Have you heard and listened, pay attention and notice that they have needs? Because God, because in Acts chapter 3, Peter and John noticed this man was not just some guy laying there. He is asking for money, but more deeply, he's asking for hope. Right where you are is where God has called you to bring hope to the hopeless. Maybe in the living room, maybe in the lunchroom, in the chat room, in the game room, in a coffee house, in a pub, in inner city suburbia, soccer field, tennis field, classrooms, neighbor's house, coworkers, students, friends, family, anywhere that you are part of, anywhere you cross every single day. Are you so busy in going to where you think you're going and forget to notice the people around you? I think that's my problem, and I assume that might be perhaps your problem too. We just don't slow down enough to notice those around us who needs hope. How he said it better, he said, you will never get it unless you slow down, my friend. I had this experience just this past week. I was with my kids at the soccer for a soccer game. Actually, last week for the practice, and I've overheard two people yelling at each other. I assume they're a married couple, they have a kid, and they were yelling at each other. And it got pretty intense, and after a while, the woman just left. And here's this guy was standing here with all these other parents around. He's feeling super embarrassed. Obviously, they were going through a fight, and it was not a quiet one. And in my heart, I sense this, that prompting for the Holy Spirit to go talk to him and say, hey, you're okay, and you know, I show care to him. But at the time, I was not slowing down enough because I was watching my kids practicing. I want to know what they're doing. So that night when I get home, I ask myself that question, why did I not go up and say, talk to that person? Because obviously, he's feeling embarrassed that all these people are looking at him, arguing with his wife. He probably needed some comfort. He probably needed some. He can use some prayer at that moment. But you see, both you and I, a lot of times, are just not slowing down enough. Because we are just like those people walking in the temple. We're so busy going to pray to God that we neglect the people along the way that perhaps we need to show love and hope to. Let me ask you again, who are the people that along the way that you see every single day? Do you notice what kind of things that they need in their lives? Are you listening to them, the things that they're going through? Are you paying attention to those who are in need of hope? My question for us is this, will you be that someone for them that will actually slow down and notice that it is not just some guy lying on the floor that I pass by every single day, that we will actually stop and show concern and bring hope to, because that is exactly what Peter and John did. Here's what it says in chapter 3, verse 4, going back to the story. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked for receive alms. Most people would just pass by. But verse 4 says this, Peter directed his gaze at him, at this man, as did John, and said, look at us. I wonder, when I first read this, why did Luke waste ink to record a line that says, Peter and John, look at this person? It's quite obvious that he probably looked, but here's the thing what I realized. I suspect the reason why Luke included this is because This man, this lame man, probably had been doing this begging for many years of his life. It becomes such a routine for him that whenever his people come by, he just, oh, help, help. He just got to go to routine knowing that people would not pay attention to him. But here's Peter and John took the time and looked this person in his eye. Got his attention. He is showing the concern that nobody has ever showed. And then this man, look at his response. In verse 5, he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. See, this poor man probably had become so hopeless that he didn't even look people in the eye anymore. He realized that no one ever showed me concern. No one ever would give me. The best thing he would do is that there's extra change in the pocket, they're throwing in. No one would actually stop and look me in the eye and help me. But that was exactly what Peter and John did. They slowed down, they noticed him, and then they proceeded to do something. And this man realized Peter and John were not just like every other person that walked by. He actually was expecting to receive something from Peter and John. But what he was about to receive is not what he expected to get. Because as Peter opened his mouth, here's what Peter said. Peter in chapter 3, verse 6 says this. I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Here's the second thing. Not only do we need to notice people around and stop and notice and show concern, the second thing is we need to give hope. We need to give people not what they want, but what they need. Peter and John gave the lame man what he needed, not what he wanted. What did this man want?
Money.
Why did he want money? Because he needed to survive. No money, no food. He needed to just survive. He needed to make it through the day so he might collect enough money for the day. And the next day he will show up again just to collect enough money to survive another day. But let me ask you this. Does getting money really solve his problem? Does getting money really get him better? No. Not that getting money is wrong, but getting money is not ultimately what this man needs. What he really needs is something completely different. Yes, silver and gold will be good, will be helpful, but it will only be a band-aid, it will only be a stopgap for him just to survive. He can collect money all the days of the rest of his life. One day he will still die. What he needed more is not just to get money to survive another day. Hopefully, with a false hope that tomorrow there might be someone who can help him with more money. That will lead him down to a path, a destination that doesn't do anything for his crippleness. But what he really needs is this. And in fact, Peter picked up on the right away and he told him, I don't have silver or gold. Can you imagine this man who's hoping to receive money from this person? The first thing come out of Peter's mouth is, I can't give you what you want. I imagine for that lame man, he was probably thinking, here's another religious nut telling me that I need something else. But really, he's just greedy. Really, he's just selfish, doesn't give me money. Really, I'm not worth it. But what proceeded out of the mouth of Peter, he said, yes, I have no silver or gold, but what I do have, I give you. What did Peter and John have? Here's what he said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Peter and John has something that this world does not have on its own. They have Jesus. Remember, they just witnessed Jesus' resurrection. They just were in a room praying, hoping that Jesus will show up again, telling them what to do. They have seen the very Lord and Master of their life crucified. And with despair, they were hiding out, scattered. But now they've seen the risen Christ, this Christ that overcome death. This Christ that overcome all opposition. And now he's raised again. He just saw him going up to heaven. This powerful Jesus that they have. And Peter and John said, this is what I will give you. What we offer to you will be of no help to you if it's just money. But I have something that you really, really need. And the reason you need it is not because money is useless. The reason you need it is because that would be the only way to give you genuine hope. You see, he needed an experience of Jesus. He needed the power of Jesus to change his life. Money doesn't change that. Money helped him just to survive, to maintain his lameness, maintain his poor life. But it's the power, the experience, encounter with Jesus that will change him. In a way, Peter, what Peter was saying to him is this: listen, I don't have money for you, but here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to bring you to Jesus. In the name of Jesus, the one who most people think is powerless because he's from Nazareth, no good things can ever come from Nazareth, is that Jesus who was raised from the dead. Now he's the power to change you. That Jesus I want to offer to you. This lame man needed Jesus. Because even if Jesus doesn't heal him, he will have eternal life. When Jesus died on the cross, our problem and my problem and his problem and your problem is not just a physical problem. It's not just an emotional problem. It's not just a world problem. We have an inner problem. We are all sinners. No matter how rich, how powerful, how functional, how healthy we are, one day we will die. And at the end of our death, we will be either separated from God forever or will be eternally with God. And that problem can only be solved when we have Jesus Christ as our hope. And so what Peter did was he offered to him, this is one thing I have. I have no money, I have no power to change you, but I have Jesus Christ who can ultimately change you. Sometimes I feel like it's really frustrating as Christians. I mean, you feel the same way. When your friends have problems, when your family have problems, you try your best to meet their needs. You try your best to offer them help. But at the bottom of your heart, you knew that whatever you offer to them is not enough. You can be a listening ear to someone who is going through trouble. You can lend money to people who are in need of money. People might be going through a tough time. You might bring them food. You can try to change their circumstances. But at the end of the day, you know at the bottom of your heart, you can't change much. You want so much to change. Sometimes you want to be for that person. You want to exchange yourself with that person. So that person has to go through that trouble, go through that sorrow, go through that homeless situation. But the reality is you can't. And so we as Christians sometimes feel like we don't have all the time to do it. We don't have the right words to say. We are really useless. But as we look at what Peter and John did, sometimes it reminds us that what we have actually is more important, is more powerful than what you think you can offer to other people. See, many times when we look at our hope, our friends with need, we just want to offer them what they want. But what they really need is Jesus. Here's a story from Thomas Aquinas. He's a scholar back in the 12th century. He was visiting the Vatican at the time. Pope Innocent II was really proud of how the Vatican was. He was showing Thomas Aquinas that all these beautiful things in Vatican City. He was showing him, and then he made a comment, the Pope made a comment, kind of half-jokingly, and says this. He says, you see, Thomas, the church can no longer say in reference to this passage, Acts chapter 3, because the church have all these beautiful things, the church can no longer say silver and gold have I not. So the Pope was making sort of half-jokingly that, see, we have all these beautiful, we have money, we have silver, we have gold. We can't make the same comment that Peter and John make. To that, Thomas replied, oh, I do see that. But I see something further. The church can also not say, rise up and walk. You see, the church at the 12th century have so dependent on money and silver, so dependent on worldly possessions, worldly ways of fixing people's problems. What they forget is the real power really lies in the encounter with Jesus. Real life change happens when someone has Jesus in their lives. It is more than just putting money in, more than just helping them. That might be the first step, but ultimately we need to point people to Jesus. Because that's exactly what happened to this man when Peter and John said, rise up and walk. They're not proclaiming this power on their own. They're not saying, because we are the great apostle, now you can send them on walk. What they're saying is this, we're calling you to rise up and walk because of the power of Jesus. In the name of Jesus comes the power of Jesus, the presence of Jesus. And as a result of that, this man, look at what happened to this man. This man was only changed, not because people throw more money at him, but because of the power of Jesus. Look at verse 7. And he took him by the right hand. Peter took this man by the right hand and raised him up. And immediately his feet, ankles were made strong. These are things that money cannot buy. These are things that can only be done by God. Because it's a miracle. And it's continued, and leaping up, this guy who could not walk for 40 years of his life felt the power of his ankle or his leg. He started jumping up, and he stood and began to walk. And the first thing he did was not to go home. The first thing he did was, because he realized only God can change him, he entered the temple with Peter and John. He knew that this is not a human solution to his problem. This hope can only be offered by someone that is God. He entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, praising God. That's what changed this man's life. It was in his, it, without a shadow of doubt in his mind, he knew this was a God thing. This hope can only be given by Jesus Christ. And so the result is he has to go in and worship God. He has to go in and praise God. Yes, physically he was healed, but better yet, he knew that he is now God's. That he has a place in God's kingdom. He has a place in God's family. He can enter and be with God forever. And as they continue to go, not only does it affect him, it affects other people. Because continuing, you see, all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple, asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. You see, all these people around remember him. This was the guy who could not walk. This was the guy who begged that perhaps we had passed by, perhaps we had ignored. This was the guy who was lame outside, but now he undeniably was the same guy who couldn't walk, but is now walking and jumping and praising God in the temple. They were walking and seeing. They were amazed by it. You see, that's what happened. You see, none of these happened. This miracle would not have happened if Peter and John did not slow down and notice. And this also would not happen if Jesus did not first show hope to Peter and John. Peter and John were shown hope by Jesus Christ, and now that hope has materialized in them, and they did not just hold it to themselves, they did not just hoard it, but instead they went out to show hope to another person who was once lost, who is now lame physically, and they in turn showed this guy hope, not just material hope, not just monetary hope, but real hope in Jesus Christ. And by doing that, this man also showed hope to other people, demonstrate hope to the rest of the people around the temple that Jesus Christ is real, that God has power, that God can offer real change in our lives. And here's what we need to remember. Hopeful people got to be hope-giving people. If you, and I don't mean hopeful people in a, being a positive thinking, that type of stuff. Hopeful people, meaning people who have found hope in Jesus Christ. If you today claim to be a Christian and you have found hope in Christ in this life and the life to come, you ought to be hope-giving people. We cannot be selfish and holding it in and just keep walking past the people who are in need of hope around us. And pretending that we can just live our own lives and these people will be taken care of. They need you to bring them the hope. Just like Peter and John brought hope to this lame man so excited being changed by God, and in turn, demonstrate for those around the temple that there is real hope in God. Hopeful people have to be hope-giving people. Now I want to ask you this. When was the last time you showed hope to people? When we think of the Great Commission, we think of sharing the gospel, we think of just evangelizing. But we cannot evangelize to those whom we do not notice. We cannot tell the good news to whom we do not come across and pay attention to. See, right where you are, at your school, at your work, that is the place where hopeless people live. We need to start right there. I want to borrow a phrase from a pastor in South Carolina. His name is Durham Gray. He's from a church called Transformation Church. So I love their title because the church is called Transformation Church. So they call every person in the church, a member of the church, Transformers. So they're called to be Transformers of this world. And I want to borrow a phrase that he used when I heard him talk about. It's being a hope dealer. Instead of being a dope dealer or drug dealer, be a hope dealer. He grew up in San Antonio in a really rough neighborhood, saturated with drugs. And he kind of grew up in this, just looking around in the street, he just see drug dealers everywhere. And as he was growing up, he ended up playing in the NFL, thinking that that would be his way out of this neighborhood. But it was when he was in the NFL that he came to know Christ and find hope in Christ. And then after 3 years, he became a pastor. So day in, day out, he see drug dealers around every corner. Here's what he says. He says, people knew exactly where to go when they need drugs. Like, people don't need to look up on Yelp, or they need to look up review. People growing up in the neighborhood knew exactly who are the people they need to find. If you want weed, if you want cocaine, whatever drugs of choice that you want to use, people knew in their neighborhood who to look to because those people deliver the goods. And drug dealers don't necessarily have to seek out to you. Everybody in the neighborhood knew. I remember growing up when I was playing football in high school, in our school. There are certain people that we knew, if you need something that is illegal, that person will be the person to go to. But here's the problem. He realized that these people are, while being so accessible, have the goods, but what they offer are temporary and destructive. People, yes, go back to them again and again, but really it's not doing them any good. And as he became Christian, he realized, while these people are giving their lives over to giving things that are temporary and destructive, as Christians, how much more we have something far greater that is eternal and beneficial in light of eternity? Why are we not dealing out hope to people? Do your friends and your family know that you're the person to look for hope of Christ? If they are going through a rough patch in their life, would they turn to you for hope? Do they know that you have the goods? You have the hope of Christ. Are you that somebody that people know? Here's my challenge for us today, for this coming week. Be a hope dealer. Bring hope to people around you. Because if you are a Christian today, and when I look at the wall that we have, a 10,000 reason blessing wall here, you have experienced hope. God has done something in your life. Jesus has meant something to you. Jesus has done miraculous work in your life. In your hopeless situation, you have found hope. So what we really should do is we should not just hold these papers here. We should take these papers every day and bring it to another person. That's what a hope dealer would do. Not just holding on to these things that, oh my God, great things God has done. Yes, I want to thank God for that. But the next time we need to do is, we need to take what I've experienced, the great things that God has done in my life. I want to bring it to another person who are in need of that same hope. Maybe going through the same thing. Because when we don't, we are not carrying out what God has called you and left you on earth for. Let's be honest, God is not leaving you here for a better degree, a better job, a better, bigger house, a bigger car, a better retirement. God left all of us as Christians here for one reason only. Is to bring hope. And so if that is not the thing that is major in your life and guiding your life while your time on earth, I think we will be wasting our lives. Will you join me in prayer? I want to give us a minute to think and respond to God. I want you to think about the corner that you walk across every single day. I want you to have a mental picture of the place where you regularly go through, you pass by, you're at. Maybe it is a school, a classroom, maybe it was the band that you play, maybe it's an orchestra, maybe it's after school activity, after school program. Now when you pay attention, look at the picture that is flashing before your mind. Who are the people around you in that picture? Have you noticed the hope that they would need? Have you noticed the things that they're going through? And as those people come up and those people show up in your mind, I want you to pray for them. I want you to pray for yourself that this week you will deal out hope to these people. Ask God to give you opportunity, because He has given you the greatest thing there is that money and silver and gold cannot buy. Would you pray for these people? Would you pray for God to use you this week to do the thing that Peter and John did with this lame man? Who are these people that are coming across your mind or your heart? Who are these people who are in need, deep need of Jesus? Make a commitment to God to honor Him, to live it out this week.